Well, today we're going to talk about our words and the importance of our words. The title of the sermon was, By Your Words You Will Be Justified. And justification is a term that we talk about a lot. Justify, for someone to be justified, means that you are acquitted of your guilt, that you are shown to not be guilty in a court of law, even if you think of it that way. In a court of law, you are justified. Someone has made a statement. They have made a statement, and someone says, that statement's not true. And then it is shown that the statement was true. Well, they have been justified, that they are true, and that they say true things, and that they are right. And they have, in as far as religion goes, in our relationship with God, we talk about justification. We want to have a right relationship with God. We want to be able to stand before God and not be sinners before a holy God. That's a bad spot to be in. Be a sinner standing in front of a holy God, not good for you at that point. So we are interested in justification. It's a term that we use a lot in our relationship, when we're talking about our religion, and it's something that we're very interested in. And so this verse here, verse 37, says, and in the ESV, or the NAS rather, it says, for by your words you will be justified. Here we have the word acquitted. You're acquitted. You are acquitted of your guilt. You are declared not guilty. And this is a group of people that we have here in the Bible. Let me talk to you about the scene. We have a group of people. We have Jesus, all right? And Jesus is telling, you know, and a lot of people are talking about Jesus is the Savior of the world. This man, Christ Jesus, is the Savior of the world. And there were a group of other men that were saying, this isn't the guy. This is not the guy. And then there were a group of people that were following Jesus, and they were saying, I think he's the guy. Are you the guy? I think you're the guy. And Jesus was walking along, and he was the guy. He was the guy. The guy that God had sent to save all of us from the sinful thing that we had, the sinful natures that we had. So we have Jesus there in amongst all these folks, and Jesus Christ had healed a man. He had healed someone. And there was a group of people that said, Jesus, he's not the guy. And so they said, yeah, he heals people, but he does it through the power of Satan. He's evil. That's what he is. He's a bad guy. He's an evil guy. He's in cahoots with Lucifer. And so they were saying, this is what some of the guys are saying, the Pharisees. And they were the religious people, it turns out. They were the people that went to church a lot. So they were the religious people. And they were saying, he's only healing people by the power of Satan. And it comes down, and Jesus is talking to folks about their confession. He's talking about their confession. And he says, either make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. And he says, you brood of vipers, how can you say anything good? Because your mouth speaks from what comes out of the heart. And your heart is not in the right place, and that's why you speak the way you do. And I tell you that everyone will have to give an account of his words. And you know, Jesus is talking about these guys because they were saying he was evil. They were saying he was on Satan's team. He's Satan's team. And he says, by your words you will be justified. These religious guys were very concerned in this culture, and we even. And as a matter of fact, everyone in the world, really when it comes down to it, when it comes down, if they were sitting down in a quiet spot, are concerned about being found not guilty. We are all, the whole world is concerned about being found not guilty. I am not guilty. It's the first thing my boys say whenever I say, who made this mess? You know, wasn't me. I'm not guilty. It wasn't me. Or if I say, clean it up. If I just say, William, clean that mess up. I didn't make that mess. I'm not guilty. We are all very concerned about not being guilty of some wrong. We always want to be found not guilty. And that's what the world is concerned about. And so these guys here are saying, we are concerned about not being guilty. And Jesus has a very interesting statement about your words. He says, by your words, you will be acquitted. By your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. So that's very important. It means our words are very important. But I thought it was very interesting because our words can say so many things. We can do so many things with our words. We can say lots of stuff, right? We can say lots of stuff. And we can say Jesus is God and not really mean it, right? Right? We can do lots of stuff. We can be careless with our words. I think often we are careless with our words. He says there, everyone have a give an account of the day of judgment for every empty word, for every careless word that they have spoken, for everything that they said. I think we a lot of times we speak empty words and careless words. I think we want to be very careful that we don't speak empty words or careless words about our God, about Jesus Christ. For example, when we sang lots of good songs earlier, we want to be very careful that our words aren't empty or careless about Jesus. We speak very often in what's called arrogance. Yeah? Just to show you, just to give you an example, in James, he talks about the nature of our words, and he says, many of you are very arrogant, and you say, I'm going to go over here and do this, or I'm going to go over there and do that, or I'm going to get this job, or I'm going to go to this school, or I'm going to do this. I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to do whatever. Basically, you are saying, I have control. He also talks about making promises. He says, you know, when you make promises, that's very arrogant of you to make promises. Your words. Because your words are careless and empty when you do those things. When you make promises, when you talk about your power, when you talk about your future and your control over everything. And he says those are very arrogant and empty words. We will have to give an account for them. Jesus says, don't promise anything because you don't have the power to make one hair on your head gray or not gray. You don't have the power to keep your heart beating. You ever thought of that? You ever thought of the fact that your heart beats in your chest and there's nothing you can do about it? There's nothing you can do about it. You can't choose to make it beat if it decides to stop. Isn't that something? I mean, you got a heart, you got a muscle. Like we control all these other muscles and we do all sorts of stuff. But you have a muscle in your body that keeps you alive, and if it decides to stop, you can't do anything about it. You are so reliant upon this. And that's what Jesus says. He says, you can't make your heart beat. You can't turn your hair gray or not. You don't determine your future. You're not in that kind of control. And to speak as though you are is to put yourself in the place of God. To say, this is what I'm going to do. You know what? You don't even know. You don't even know what you're going to do. And so the Bible says this, and encourages us to say this. Instead of saying, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, it says, we should say, if the Lord wills, I'll do this or that. If the Lord wills, I'll go to that school. That's the school I'm going to go to. If the Lord wills. I say that to make this point. I'm not sure that we are very aware of how careless we are with our words. You know? We talk about the weather as if God doesn't exist. You know? Looks like it's going to rain today. Yeah. We talk about all sorts of things. We go about our daily lives as if God doesn't exist. And we do it with our words. Our words are very important. They direct our lives. And with our words, we live a life and we communicate with others and we interact with others as if there's not a God. Much of our life. I'm not sure that we really get a grip on how empty our words can be, how empty they can be. We talk about a world as if there's not a God. Think about how many times you mention God during your day in conversation. Do you mention God very often in your conversation? Have you had a conversation about some news, maybe unrest in the Middle East? Have you had a conversation about that? And have you had any conversation about that? Never mentioned God? Have conversations about how things are going around here and not mention God. Conversations about how your physical well-being are and not mention God. All sorts of conversations that we have all the time. And we don't refer to God, talk about God, really involve God in those conversations. That matters to God. That is emptiness. in our speech. We're leaving out the most important thing. Yeah? We're talking about, what was the last thing you had a conversation about, you know, going to picking a college, or what you want to be when you grow up? Was God involved in that conversation at all? You know, was He anywhere to be found? That's having a conversation that is careless and empty, because it is the direction of our lives. That's how important our words are. Our words are very important in what we say. So how does what we say, how do our words connect with justification? Well, it's because they are connected to our heart. Our words are connected to our heart. Our heart is the thing, as we referred to, it's not the muscle beating in your chest at this point. Right? We're not talking about that. It's your heart. Your heart is your desires that direct your life. That's my heart. You know? What's your heart? What's God's heart? What are the things that God is passionate about that direct His actions? And somebody says, share with me your heart. They're asking you, what are the things that you love? What are the things that you hate? What are the things that move you to action? Share with me your heart. And the Bible says that it is from the heart that the mouth speaks. So, is your speech empty or without God? That would mean, right? From the mouth, the heart speaks. And if your mouth is, your speech is frequently empty and without God, that means that your heart is very much empty and leaving God behind. That God is not in your heart a lot. You know what I'm talking about, right? A lot of people talk about, you talk about the things, you know, that you love. You can easily talk about them. A lot of people, if you were to ask some certain people about a sport, you know, basketball, and they could go on and on, right, about it. Or it seems like every time you enter into a conversation with them, they're talking about a particular subject. You know, gearheads talk about cars all the time. And jocks talk about sports all the time. And people who are into fashion, they talk about fashion all the time and things like that. Right? What's in your heart? What directs your life? What you're passionate about? What you're moving towards? If you think about the Pledge of Allegiance, what's the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, to the Republic, for which it stands, one nation, under God. I pledge allegiance to the symbol. I pledge allegiance to this country, to America. I'm pledging my allegiance to it with my mouth. From my heart, I speak out a confession. I confess. To pledge your love for one another. Your love for your, we talk about poems, or, you know, singing. That's words. You know? And we do a lot of pledging with our songs. That's what artists always say. I'm just expressing who I am through my music and through my words, my lyrics. I express who I am through my stage presence and my show here. We express ourselves through our words. We express who we are. The Bible speaks of this connection of our heart and our mouth and our expression, and how important the two are in Romans. Chapter 8, Romans chapter 10 rather. Listen to this. It says, if you confess with your mouth, you pledge allegiance, you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart. So we've connected our mouth and our heart. Our mouth and our heart, very connected. We confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. Whoa. Mouth, heart, salvation. Here, we have mouth, heart, salvation. Very important. Heart to the mouth, justification comes out. There's a very important connection between our heart and what we say, the confession that they put forth, and our salvation, our right standing before God. Being acquitted. Very important connection. If you confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart. So, what must the heart believe? Well, inside the heart, we must believe that Jesus Christ is alive. That's what it said. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, the idea is that Jesus is currently alive right now. Jesus Christ, right? He lived a long time ago. It was 2,000 years ago that he was on the earth. How could it be possible that he would be alive right now? But he raised from the dead. And he's seated at the right hand of God. Here's the deal. If you believe in the resurrection, if you really believe in the resurrection of Jesus, then you believe a whole lot of other things. Right? You believe that he was the Son of God. You believe that he said who he was. He is who he said he is. You believe that right now he's in heaven. You believe that heaven exists. You believe there's an afterlife. If you believe in the resurrection of Jesus, it commits you to all sorts of stuff. Right? So it's to believe in the resurrection in your heart is to believe the gospel, is to believe that he is the Son of God, that he has the power over death, is to believe so much. Now, belief, remember, your heart is the thing that guides you and directs your life. To believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is a man that rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. I mean, we're talking dead, in a grave, buried. People don't get up from being buried in a grave. This guy did. If you believe that in your heart, if you believe, then that thing, that man, Jesus, who rose from the dead, directs your life. He directs your desires. He moves you. That's what moves me, is Jesus Christ, is the resurrection. That's what it means to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. It means that that fact, that truth, is what moves me to act and to live and do things. That's what moves me. That's what the engine that drives my whole life is, this man that resurrected. And he's alive right now, interacting with me. Talks to me. He walks with me. That's what moves me. And I confess with my mouth, because that's what's in my heart. I confess with my mouth then that this Jesus that lived a long time ago, that died, rose again, and seated. There's an afterlife and he's there. He is God, this man. I confess him. I pledge my allegiance to him. I confess him as my Lord. I bow down to my knees. I confess you as my Lord. You are my King. You are my Lord. It's the confession of your mouth, as it's inside your heart. It comes out of your mouth. That is what saves us. It's not only just the confession of your mouth, but the confession of our mouth is tied. The confession of our mouth, the words that come out of our mouth, is tied to our lifestyle. Is tied to our actions. It's not just a confession of words. It's not just a confession of words. Because someone could pledge allegiance to the flag, and then the first time, you know, America says, "I need you," could turn tail and run. How really committed were they? Right? How committed really were they? Was it really in their heart when they pledged? Right? If the first time my country needs me, then I turn around and run from my responsibility to my country, and I was pledging that allegiance all my life, did I really mean it? Was it really what was in my heart that was coming out of my mouth? There's another scripture where Jesus says, he quotes Job, he says, "This generation, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." He's talking about that generation. He's talking about those Pharisees. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. See, there's a connection between what's in our heart and what comes out of our mouth. A connection now between what comes out of our mouth and the life that we live. Listen to this. In James chapter 3, it says, "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says," the words that come out of his mouth, "he's perfect." If you didn't stumble in what you would say, you would be perfect. You ever thought of that? That's heavy. He says this, "We put bits into the mouth of horses." You know, that's how you steer a horse, by his mouth. You ever know that? You know that? They put that thing on a horse's head and had a thing in his mouth. And the guy pulls on the string this way and he pulls the horse like that. And the horse turns and goes one way or the other because his mouth is being pulled. You know what I mean? It's kind of mean sounds, but that's how they do it. You're sitting on the horse, and if you want to go right, you pull this way on the deal, and it'll hold your mouth, and the horse turns and goes that way. The mouth directs what direction the horse goes in. And that's the same way with us. Our mouth directs which direction our life goes. And guess what directs the mouth? The heart. From the heart to the mouth to the life. It's a confession of your life. He says, look at a ship. Though they are big, they are driven by strong winds everywhere, but they're still directed by a small rudder in the very back, according to the inclination of the pilot. So you have these big ships, right? And they're going that direction, and the wind's driving. He's talking about a sailboat. But the ship's going that way, but you know how you turn the ship? There's a little big piece of wood on the very back of the ship, and the wood turns like this, and the ship turns that way. A piece of wood turns that way, and the guy's turning the big wheel, and it's turning the piece of wood back, and it turns the piece of wood, and the ship goes that way. It's a really small piece, just like your tongue is a really small part of your body, your mouth. But your mouth and the words that are coming out of your mouth direct your life. They give direction to your life because your heart gives direction to your mouth, and your mouth gives direction to your life. It's the confession of your life. He says this, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts. Remember we talked about earlier, boasting? I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Yet it boasts of great things. See how great the forest is set on fire by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. And the tongue is set among our members as that thing which defiles our entire body. And it sets, here's the deal, it sets on fire the course of our life. What is your confession? What is your life confession? In a minute, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. You know, the Lord's Supper is a confession. It's a confession. You know, baptism? Have you been baptized? Baptism is a confession. It's a life confession. That's why when you're in the baptism, they say, do you confess Jesus as your Lord? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord? And you confess. Because you are directing your entire life by your confession. What is your life confessing? What is your life confessing? What is it saying is important? What is it saying is your justification? What is your life confession? Does your life say that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead and that He is Lord? Is that what your life says? On a day-to-day basis, does your life say Jesus Christ defeated death. He overcame death. And He's in heaven right now. And He is the Lord of the whole world. Is that your life? Is that the confession of your life? The confession of your mouth and what's in your heart? Here in a minute, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And it is a confession. You are proclaiming and remembering the importance of the death, the body, and the blood. You are proclaiming this. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ nourish me. When you take it, when you take the bread, when you take the body inside, just like you say, I need this bread to live physically. I need the body of Jesus Christ to live physically, to spiritually. This bread keeps me alive. Jesus keeps me alive. Just like I need a drink of water, so I need the blood of Jesus in me. I'm confessing that I am spiritually sustained and nourished by the broken body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. That's our confession. You're going to confess that in a moment. And what is going to be your confession tomorrow and the day after? So our confession needs to be that Jesus is Lord. Our life confession needs to be that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we'll sing a couple of songs, and we'll say a word of prayer, and we'll take the Lord's Supper. Father in heaven, we believe, Lord, there are many in this room that believe, Jesus, that you were raised from the dead in our hearts, and it is that which moves us. And we want to confess with our mouths, we want to confess with our life. We want that you, that belief in you that's in our heart to come out of our mouth. We want to confess that you are the Lord. You are the King. That we are not boastful, and that you are the King. And that we submit to you. I pray, Father, that if there are, for those in this room that do not have in their hearts the belief in you, the belief in your resurrection, the belief in your in the truth about who you are, Jesus, the truth about your sonship and your resurrection, the belief in your power. Pray that you would change our hearts, that you would come and you would move in us and give us a taste and a knowledge of who you are. Pray that as we confess and remember your death and your blood and your body, that we would confess it to the world that you are good and that you nourish us and that you sustain us and that your blood is valuable to us. So we just want to make a confession of our life, Father. And we confess it to you and confess it to the world. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.